Hello, everybody, and welcome to our coaching call, our ERC group coaching call. This is our open coaching for the month of November 2018. It's hard for me to believe that it's November. Like, the year is just about over. New Year's coming. Then it'll be whatever, Valentine's Day, Easter, summer again, and then Thanksgiving again. All in the drop of a hat. It feels like that's how this last year has gone by. So it's wonderful to have you all here. I've enjoyed meeting with several of you this week, and I still have a couple more to go as this week goes on, and last week and the week before. So it's great to get all your calls in. And if you didn't get a note back from me on your private call with the call notes on it, I will be working on that in the next couple of days. I had some issues with my computer and slowness and all that. I did get yours out, Jeannie, because I finished it like that. Because I had to reboot the computer to do that. And who else did I talk to today? Sandra. So I did get those out. So I'm just working my way backwards, trying to figure out where I left off when the computer went haywire. But we'll get you those notes. So This is a call where you can ask me anything, pretty much. You know, I don't know about poop jokes, but we can talk about whatever is up for you and whatever you want me to look at. I know John had some labs he wanted me to take a look at and see, you know, in particular questions and anything else. Just raise your hand, *2. No, that's a different call. Raise your hand somehow with the little button that's there, or just get online and raise your hand like John's doing right now. So I'll open John's line up. And we have this new form that is supposed to be, it will be as of the first of the year on all the call reminders to say, hey, just click here and put in any questions, any labs you want me to look at. So we're in advance. But somehow or other, it fell off the radar and only got into one email once because I looked back in the file and it's like from 10/23, I had all these responses and nothing since. So it's Mercury in retrograde is what we always blame it on, but whatever it is, it is. So John has some stuff and I wanted to, I'll open up your line. You are open.
Yeah, it looks like I'm open.
What's your, you have particular questions that you want to address or, because I can't go through all your labs enough.
and I guess maybe, you know, the reality is Elise and I, obviously it was a lot, you know, on top of all the other old stuff I had, we had a lot of new lab results that, you know, involved about, I don't know, 30 different markers.
Wow.
And I was able to get my doctor to give me the script to get all that work done.
We all need doctors like you because you seem to be able to get scripts for everything.
Well, it's a rheumatologist that I've been working with for the last 4 years, and she'd love to solve my mystery as much as I would. So, she got me. We got all the stuff. And the good news is then Lisa and I had a call last Wednesday, just before, actually Friday during Thanksgiving weekend, Friday. And we kind of walked through it all. So the picture's actually, I mean, not that bad, all things considering, given everything I've got going on. A lot of the work I've been doing with supplements and diet over the last couple of years has probably kept things relatively okay. So, you know, omega-6 is a little high, but omega-3 is great. Probably going to eat a little less red meat. You know, I'm trying to do the paleo thing. So I'm trying to balance all of my meats. I'm eating a fair amount of fish, but probably more fish, right? I'm always concerned about all the junk that's in fish too,
well,
right?
Yeah, you should be. Absolutely. There's balance. There's always balance.
So I don't know that I want to eat fish 5 days a week.
No, I wouldn't.
You know, of course, red meat encompasses everything from lamb and pork and beef and bison, and I love eating bison. It's big in Colorado, and it's a lot leaner than beef.
But I'm opening your blood spot because that's the one I want to look at. Because there's, I know Lisa's good at reading these, so I probably won't find anything else. But I always end up finding other things in the blood spot. So I'm going to share my screen, if that's okay with you.
No, that's good. That'd be a good one to look at because, like you said, rather than go through all the, I don't have too many questions on the rest of it.
Yeah.
For some reason, my ferritin didn't get added to the script. So I'm gonna next time I get one, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah. All right. So ALA, EPA, these are all very balanced.
Yeah.
So when I see this, I think either you're really good at converting, or you are taking EPA, DHA, and the numbers look really good in the right range. Your LA is a little high. And it's possible that your ALA conversion to EPA DHA is not that great, just because, you know, it's rare to see that unless you're like sitting down pounding down bowls and bowls of chia all day long, which I don't think you're doing.
Well, I'm not to that extreme but I'm eating it.
You're getting chia, flax, hemp, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all of that stuff. Yeah, all three of those regularly throughout the day, every day.
Okay. All right. So yeah, so it could be just that you're getting plenty of it, and but you're also getting the EPA DHA as well. LA, this is a little on the high side. We want to see a better ratio between LA and ALA. And I would say, do you know where on the blood spot fatty acid or the fats module is in the BFF part of the program?
I can find it. I don't know that I've been on it, but I'll look.
Okay, so I'm going to recommend you be on it. And I actually had it open from an earlier call. Okay, so on this page, which I can stick this link in there for you to get direct access. Okay. You will have to log in, of course, to get it, but that's okay. Where'd the thing go? Okay. Oh, here it is. All right, chat. I'll put this in here. But what I want you to look at is this talks about plant sources, which you're already doing, it sounds like. It talks about, you know, fish is a good source, but you do have to be careful, and it's not recommended more than twice a week just because of the high levels of mercury. Mm-hmm. And then
while I'm doing that, for sure, right? So
okay. Yeah, so no more than twice a week, I would say. Then there's here's some of the omega-3 sources. It sounds like you're already doing them. But
yeah, all that, including the Satcha, Insha. I've got some of that, so however you say it.
All right. And then here, this is the one I want you to look at. Is this the tracking sheet? It's a spreadsheet. I can't really open it here because it tries to save it to my site. I'll open this version of it. I'll open the PDF version. But in the Excel version, it actually allows you to calculate your ratios as you eat. So I'll show you what it looks like in here. Okay. So here's a chart, and it has different fatty foods. This is omega-6. I'm not sure why these are at the top. Fish and meat. Oh, seeds, fish and meat, and nuts and other high-fat foods. And then it says how much of each of these are in here. The cool part about this is you can actually fill them in. It looks like I had, you know, filled in some as a sample. You can undo that.
Yeah, and you brought this up once before on another call, I think, too. So.
Yep, I think I did. And then at the bottom, it'll calculate the ratio for you. All right? You want to be no more than 3 or 4 times as much omega-6 as omega-3. Okay? And when you look at, like, studies that talk about our ancestors used to, they were 1-to-1. And part of it is that the omega-3 content of food has gone down because of all the commercialization and, you know, that the plants are not, you know, I don't know, the soils are depleted, whatever. But it's just not happening as much. So you can put your numbers in here and you can calculate, like you put in, I put an ounce of walnuts. Well, you may not know what an ounce is, but you can weigh an ounce compared to like a tablespoon. But this was the best way to do the chart based on the USDA kind of numbers. And it'll give you some ideas. And it's really cool because in the spreadsheet part, there's actually some recipes at the top. And then at the bottom, it calculates what the source is. So that particular recipe has 0.84 omega-3 to 6. It's actually, this should say omega-6 to 3. I got to change that one. We've got to change that. Because
it's 6-to-3, right? And you're saying no more than 3 or 4-to-1.
And this is actually, when you look at this, I actually calculated it backwards. So this is right. It's 0.84, but it says 6-to-3. Yeah.
Okay. And it sounds like probably too, I have to be careful on nut butters, right? So I'm kind of rotating everything. I'm not just gorging myself on nut butters, but I do eat or even seeds, right? I'll eat like sunflower butter.
Exactly. And that, because you're trying to put on weight, you're going to be getting.
Yeah, I'm eating like teaspoons of it, right?
Exactly. But here's like walnuts, hemp seeds. Those are all pretty balanced, more towards the omega-3 side. Things like cashews and macadamia nuts, they have very little of each. So even if the ratio looks bad, it's just because there's hardly any of either of them. Right.
Yeah,
so you don't have to worry about those. So those don't throw your ratio off much, but it's really cool having the working sheet, because you can plug stuff in. You go, I just had 2 tablespoons of almond butter. How much is that? What do I have to balance that 2 tablespoons of almond butter with? How many walnuts or, tablespoons of chia seed or whatever? And you can actually, you'll get the hang of it after a while. It may seem like work at first, but it'll really help you to be doing it, especially since you are focusing on eating more of these foods for the weight issue.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll download that. Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then there's more information on all of these. There's videos and it talks about inflammation. It also, the other thing which I was showing somebody earlier, which I couldn't get open because my machine wouldn't work, but was I think it's on the previous page. Yeah, it's on the previous page. Fat. This was Give Your Body. Oh, it's on the next page.
So is it possible to overdo it? In other words, flip the ratio around? Is that harmful to have more omega?
It could be. It depends, right? If you have bleeding tendencies, yeah. I mean, any time you get off track too much on the 3 side, you can have hemorrhagic tendencies. Because the omega-3s are good for thinning the blood and preventing clots, which is great if you have a tendency to clots. But if you have some more tendencies towards bleeding, yeah. So you don't want to get off in the other direction either. So anywhere from 1:1 to 4:1 would be the range that you would want to shoot for.
Of course, that might help me with my venous stasis in the retina.
Mm-hmm. Good. Right, exactly. Well, that's why high levels of omega-3s are recommended in situations like that where we're trying to reverse clotting things and decrease blood pressure problems and things like that.
Yeah, good.
There's these flow charts here, and I like these flow charts because they're colorful. The ones I like the best are, it just kind of gives you, and the slide presentation shows you more about this, but the different, I call them the firefighters versus the fire, and we're trying to put out the fire and inflammation. And the omega-3s will go down to arachidonic acid, which is inflammatory. But if you have enough EPA and GLA, DGLA, it can displace that. So that's why we want the balance. And situations like MS and autoimmune diseases, we find when we measure people, their ratios tend to be in the 20:1 range, which is really, really inflammatory versus, 4:1 or whatever. And I'll show you where that is on your report. But this is kind of like, this is how we modulate the last one. So this is how drugs modulate. And when we take the NSAIDs, it's great. It reduces the arachidonic acid and it reduces thromboxane A2 and PGE2, which are highly inflammatory, but it doesn't do anything for these leukotrienes, which are super inflammatory. It just basically kills your firefighters, right? It reduces your ability to reduce the inflammation. And that's where we come in with steroids, and steroids break up further up and just cut this whole thing off. So when we take NSAIDs and even steroids, it shuts down our body's own ability to make these anti-inflammatory fatty acids downstream metabolites. So it's important for us to know how to balance this nutritionally. And this is all in the video, and I explained it a little bit more slowly. But when you look at this, the things in the yellow are sources of these particular omegas, right? So linoleic and alpha linoleic, they're the short chain. So we have the flax, chia, hemp, and walnuts, sesame, sunflower, almond, pumpkin on the other side. And then the longer ones, EPA, DHA, so we have marine fish and algae versus borage oil, black currant, and evening primrose. So that's why therapeutically, if we were to look at your fatty acid and we see that there's a shortage in the longer chained omega-6 or 3, we'd want to give you some supplementation there. In your case, that's not the case. But here we get the arachidonic acid comes from certain foods, membrane phospholipids, it says, but basically it's meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy, and peanuts are the five main sources of these dietarily. Fish is over here, right? And the vegetables and all the other stuff's up here. But here's what happens. The red stuff actually decreases the conversion in that pathway. So if we have enough curcumin and vitamin E, we're going to decrease our body's ability to make the arachidonic acid, right? So that's, Jeannie, and I mentioned that in your thing after we talked. I found this chart finally opened after I rebooted my computer. So that would help to decrease if you have a high arachidonic acid, and I'll look back at yours in a minute. But then these inflammatory mediators, they're really potent inflammatories. These are some of the things that decrease that conversion, which is why we say ginger and turmeric and all these things are good for anti-inflammatory, especially in E and EPA and zinc and all these things. So these help to decrease this conversion, which is what we want. But up here, these things help to increase the conversion from the short fatty acids into the EPA and the GLA. Does that make sense? So here's the things that a lot of people are deficient in, right? A lot of people are deficient if they're eating processed foods, and there's a lot of reasons for being deficient, bad stomach acid, etc. So those are things we focus on and what we can learn from this fatty acid test. So let me see, John, where'd your thing go? Did I close it? There it is. So if we look at yours, right? So your ALA is good, your EPA is good, your DHA. So that either means you're getting good sources of all of these, or if you weren't eating any of this, which I looked at somebody earlier, wasn't eating any of this as a supplement, but was eating it as food. Sometimes what I see is really high levels of this ALA. So, hey, you're eating lots of chia, flax, et cetera. Okay. But very low levels here. So you're not supplementing with DHA, EPA. And likely you've got some issues with these nutrients because your body's not able to convert. Does that make sense? In your case, nod yes or no. Am I losing
you? Oh, wait. Are you talking hypothetically, or are you talking about
me? I'm talking hypothetically. So then if I go back to you, this
yeah,
is
it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I was going to say, that's not me you're talking about.
That's not you. No. But we see that a lot. So other people listening can be, need to look at that. Yep. But yours is not that way. Where did yours go? Here. You're all equal, right? So what I'm thinking is that because all of these are really high, we need to get these down. So really reducing the omega-6 in your diet. This gets converted to this, gets converted to this, gets converted to this, right? Increasing, you're already taking turmeric, right? Vitamin E may be an issue. So looking at vitamin E as a potential, or vitamin E rich, especially if you're eating a lot of fat in your food, because the vitamin E is an antioxidant for that.
Right.
So I would say the main source here for you would be to lower this LA and then the downstreams, because I really want to see this come down. Because if you look at AA, EPA, that's not the way I want to see that ratio. I want to see that ratio much, much lower than that, because your ratio is 8 to 1, right? And inflammatory conditions, you know, anywhere from 8 and up is considered inflammatory, right? I like to see this around 4 or 3. Right. And no, and in answer to Jay's question, I wouldn't want to see that any less than 1 to 1. And I probably feel more comfortable if it was closer to 3 to 1, just because I don't want to risk the bleeding, you know, unless there's specific therapeutic reasons for it. Does that make sense?
So what about his line item number 8? That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, this is really good. So no trans fats. This is awesome, right? And trans fats are another situation. They're not in this pathway, but they'll damage the membranes. They'll damage the blood vessel linings. They'll damage muscles. So the good thing is you have low trans fats. In order to get, you know, inflammation better under control, I want to see AA lower.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. And the way you do that is you reduce the AA containing foods. You increase the curcumin, turmeric, and the vitamin E to decrease the conversion, and you decrease the linoleic. There's not a lot of food sources of GLA that we eat on a regular basis, you know, borage and evening primrose. When was the last time you put evening primrose oil on your salad? Probably never, right?
Right.
But those are therapeutically, we can eat those. But the hemp seeds do have a fair amount of GLA, not huge, but fair amount compared to all the others. But the LA is in everything, right? So that's where, plug it into the spreadsheet. Just really see where you're at. Another way to do it is to use the chronometer and really look at it carefully, but you can't manipulate it the same way in chronometer. It's not as easy to manipulate. Whereas in here, you can just plug those things in. Like, I'm making a recipe. I'm going to put in some,
you can play around with it. Yeah.
You know, almonds, and I do it and I go, holy cow, that recipe's like a 9-to-1. I don't want that. Let me take some of the almonds out and shove in a little bit more hemp seeds. Ah, look at that. I've got it fixed. You know what I mean? So it helps you to actually create your recipes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And I gave you like 4 or 5 of them in that spreadsheet to play with, some recipes that you can play around with. And some of them are really low, like 0.84, and some of them are like 4. I think I didn't do anything above 4. Okay?
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Thank you. All right. Let me stop share. All right. Who else has questions, comments, anything I can support you with? Any things you want to share? I love the Christmas tree in the background at Jeannie's.
Marcia's hand is up.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Could you review again, and Susan's on now, my thyroid, why you recommended that I not take thyroid?
Okay. I'll show you.
We weren't clear. We had a meeting yesterday.
Okay. So... and I didn't recommend you not take thyroid. I recommended that you
talk to my doctor.
Discuss it with your doctor and find out the rationale.
So I didn't discuss it with her. I just stopped.
Okay.
But I did tell my husband and Susan that you recommended that I discuss it with Mirto.
Okay, good. All right, so let me look at your labs. I'll just look at your master tracker.
Okay.
Okay. We'll just look at your master tracker, and you're okay with me sharing the screen. I haven't done that yet.
Always. Yeah.
Okay. Just always have to ask. It's one of those things. All right. So I will share my screen. Okay. And I'll refresh my memory because I don't remember. I just know that the numbers seemed a little.
I think it was when you looked at my Dutch also that. And this. Yeah, I remember we did this.
Yeah, so we looked here. And I looked at. So your number is here. So I was concerned that because your free T3 is good or was good back in, you know, May when you had it done. Your free T3 was good. My concern was taking thyroid was going to have you feeling a little jittery and a little hyperthyroidy. And that we really need to just address, we need to address these, the antibodies, because 10 is pretty high for thyroglobulin, but they're better than they were before. At least that one is a lot better by a fraction of 2. And yeah, the TSH is high. So your thyroid is struggling to keep the numbers here. The numbers are good, but it's struggling to do that. I'm not sure that it's a problem yet with the thyroid not being able to make enough or that there's something else going on that's interfering. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's not counterproductive. Like, look how much better you got, but you weren't on thyroid back here, or you didn't go on thyroid. When did you go on the thyroid? You weren't on thyroid when you got this test.
No, I didn't go on thyroid till like November or whenever Susan and I said ERC.
When I see these numbers like this jumping around a lot and you're not on medication, then immediately I don't have to see anything else and I say antibodies. There's an autoimmune here. This is because it's common for TSH to go wee, 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 wee up and down when there is an autoimmune.
And you also said at one point, and I'll go back and listen to that. I haven't done that, our last call, but you said that I was actually hyperthyroid. And I don't know if that's because you look, Does the Dutch also show thyroid stuff, or were we only looking at this? I don't remember. But at one point you said, and I said,
well, I said back here, it looks like you were in a hyper state. You had a 4.9 on your free T3.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And your T4, I don't know what your total T4 is. This is, I think that was, I need to see your total T4. So the next labs you get, we're going to do a full thyroid. Because the total T4 is everything, what the body's making. So if this number is really low, then you're making, you've probably got inadequate amount of thyroid binding globulin. If this number is super high, you might have too much. And that's a hormonal thing. And that maybe, let me look back at the Dutch. That may be where that logic came in, because if estrogens are high, then we tend to have too much of the thyroid binding globulin. So the ratio between the total thyroid hormones and the free thyroid hormones is lower than it should be, right? We have too much total, too much that's bound floating around and not enough free. That's not a picture I see here. I mean, I don't see any low numbers in the free. What I see is, I'm missing the total, so I don't know what it's doing. Is it not producing because of iodine insufficiency or other nutrients, tyrosine insufficiency, the protein that it needs to make it? But I don't know. I know that the thyroid, the pituitary is having to kick the thyroid hard to make it work, right? At least, yeah, throughout here. Not back here as much, back in 16, but it's up and down. So I really think this is an autoimmune thing. And the reason I said that to you, Marcia, was you said, I've been taking it, I don't see any difference.
Right.
Right. And my feeling about it is, if you take thyroid hormone, then you suppress the TSH, which makes the thyroid not work as, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't allow you, it lets you become dependent on having it from outside. So that's where, you know, when it's in this range, I'd rather see you looking at, what are some of the nutrients and foods I can use to kickstart this thyroid to not make the pituitary have to work so hard? Does that make sense? And now, like I said, I go from week to week to week, and I can't keep everybody's stuff all straight in my head. I have to look, but I will look because I want to see what I said in my notes.
Does it make sense to look at neurotransmitters like the organic acid test? See, and she was talking about being jittery or anxious.
Well, I don't know that she said she was being jittery, but I was fearful for that because she tends to have the hypervigilant genes, right?
Yeah, I'm only saying that because that's the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in somebody who has the, I'm just looking to see what labs, more cruciferous broccoli sprout, arugula.
Yeah, I guess I'm suggesting take a look at neurotransmitters, see where you are, serotonin and dopamine.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have some of that in the Dutch, right? When we look at the Dutch, specialty labs. Oh, here we go. Yeah, so when we look at Dutch, we see super high testosterone and low progesterone and estrogen. So my concern with testosterone, it tends to decrease the amount of thyroid binding globulin. So it could be, without seeing the total T4, you could have a super low total T4 and reasonable amounts of the free because the testosterone is decreasing those binding globulins. I don't know, possibly the body is smart and it says, oh, we need to decrease the binding globulins because we don't have enough thyroid and let me make the testosterone high. It's just an unusual pattern. We also have super high cortisols, right? So there's the stress pattern here, and stress affects the thyroid receptors. So that's the other piece I was concerned about, making sure that we handle the stress piece, because this, the thyroid receptors and the conversion, although you look like your conversion was fine from T4 to T3, but the stress can affect the receptors. right? And I think you had the high homocysteine, which would affect the receptors as well. So I felt more like I wanted to see you address the underlying causes rather than just give thyroid on top of things.
I'm getting a blood test for the little A or whatever it's called.
Yep.
Okay. So since I have to be pricked anyway, should I do a complete thyroid now? At one point you said do it right away and then you said let's wait. But I have such problems giving blood.
Yeah.
That if I'm going, you know, I might as well
do
whatever else we think.
Yeah, because it's 6 months and you just recently stopped the thyroid?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Okay, yeah. So that'll give us a sense of whether that did anything to change things, whether it affected the antibodies at all. That's another reason I don't like giving thyroid hormone is because it gives the antibodies more stuff to chomp onto.
So when you say look at the underlying causes, are you thinking like anti-inflammatory?
I'm thinking inflammation. I'm thinking leaky gut because of the autoimmune. I'm thinking the adrenal, because if we look at the adrenal, it's got these really high cortisol levels going on that need to be calmed down. So it's really that underlying piece that I'd rather look at. Because, well, you did the thyroid for how long? Like a month or two?
Yeah. And Susan actually thought maybe it wasn't enough. It was a very low dose.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wasn't feeling anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Susan, I'm happy to chat with you about it, but I'm like, let's give hormones as the last resort, not the first, right? So let's address the underlying. Now, if your numbers were 12 or, you know, if your TSH was really high, then I would say, yeah, right? And I'd be concerned about giving you more without first seeing, like do it now and see, because that T3 was within the optimal range. If you take more, you can pop your T3 too high and get, you know, more stressed than you are, right? Which I don't want to see. I see you going beautifully in the other direction and I don't want to see you going back in the other direction. That's my rationale for it. Right.
Yeah, Dr. Rita Marie, it's Susan. I tend to agree with you, especially at the time when Marcia said she was taking the thyroid medication and didn't feel any difference.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course, when we just revisited it on the call and she said she went off at cold turkey and doesn't feel any different.
It doesn't feel any different. Right.
Right. So.
Yeah. And it may be that it's not enough to make a difference, but without looking at it, because a lot of times the shifts happen in the blood before we actually notice it. And I don't want to push you in a direction that's not good long-term. And I also don't want to take a chance on the, you know, the flutteriness and the palpitations and sweatiness and all that kind of stuff. You know, the only good thing about hyperthyroid is weight loss. But most people say, I don't care because I feel so crappy. I'd rather have the weight and feel like a normal human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just weight loss. It's loss of bone density. It's not a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's all of that. So that's why I'm super careful with people's, if I'm going to, you know, even suggest that they talk to their doctor about a thyroid dose, it would be very small. Whenever we're replacing hormones, it needs to be a physiologic dose. How much would the body be producing to be in optimal health and how do we get that? And it's a hard thing to calculate. It takes some titrating, which is not what the regular endocrinologists will do. They just go, here's your medication, come back in 6 months and let's see how it's doing. I mean, 6 months, a lot can happen. A lot of bone loss can happen. A lot of, you know, heart stress from, you know, whatever else is going on. And I'm more cautious about it. Same thing when people give DHEA. I've plenty of times recommended, because you can do it over the counter, DHEA for people with low thyroid function, but I give it like 2 milligrams. Not 100 milligrams, right? 2 milligrams. If you give the body a large dose of something it's supposed to be making, the negative feedback loop kicks in. And it says, oh, good, we're good. Let's go play golf. We don't need to make that hormone anymore, right? We don't want that because it shuts it down. And I see people who, after many years of supplementation with hormones, it's really hard to get the body to kick in again because it's like an atrophy, right? What happens when you break a leg and you're leg is in a cast for 6 weeks. What happens to your poor quad muscle? It's jello, right? Because it doesn't have to do anything. And that's what happens internally too. It's just a protective mechanism that the body has. Does that make sense?
Can you talk about bone loss a little bit more in the context of supplementing with thyroid?
Well, excess TSH has been associated with bone loss, with osteoporosis, with the breakdown of bone. It increases the metabolism. I mean, not excess TSH, excess thyroid hormone. It increases the metabolism, which increases all the breakdown, the rebuilding. And it's just a lot of studies that associate it with bone loss.
Okay.
Yeah, long term. You know, short term, anything's fine, right? Short term, we want to get somebody out of trouble. But it's really important to just keep tabs on things to make sure that we don't overshoot the mark. Make sense? Anybody else have anything to add or question? Lynn, did you have anything to add to that? No? You're good? Susan, is that making sense? Are you?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And the other thing I wanted to say about endocrinologists or other types of doctors is that they don't usually track your collagen turnover, which is going to tell you a little bit more, you know, because bone density tests are usually every 2 years, right?
Right. And they only show when there's a 25% change.
Exactly.
And you don't show the subtle
copy of your report. And, you know, so the N-telepeptide cross-link yep. test is a really important test to do if you are taking thyroid supplementation,
mm-hmm.
because you want to understand the collagen turnover in your bones.
Yeah. And it's also good if you do have a tendency towards osteopenia, you've been checked for osteopenia or osteoporosis, then it's a good idea to
bring
that. And it, especially if on the Dutch test, you have, let me show that Dutch test again. On the Dutch test, if you've got elevation in the six or decrease in the 16 hydroxy, so the 16 is the blue, you'd see that she's in 21%, she's in the 30 to 30%. I see people are very low in the 16, and that's a risk factor for osteoporosis, because you hear a lot about how the protective effect of estrogen on bones, and how as soon as the estrogen levels drop at menopause, women are much more likely to have osteoporosis and fractures. It's the protective effect of the 16 hydroxy, and that 16 hydroxy can be, it's influenced by iodine. So iodine load tests are always good to do. And it's also influenced by, the diet and what's in the diet. Now, too much in the way of cruciferous vegetables, I don't know what too much means, but theoretically too much of that, you know, the DIM and all those kinds of things can lead to decrease in all of the estrogens, and it can decrease the 16 and put you at risk. So we have to, it's always a matter of balancing and finding that out. So the test that Susan was talking about, NTX, N-telepeptides, we talk a lot about that in the Eating for Bone Health section, which we're going to, I think January or February is when we're going to review that piece in the Body Freedom Formula pillars. But you can go there anytime you want because it's open, and there's a booklet that I put together on eating for bone health, right? So in there we talk about the NTX test. They used to do it at Direct Labs, and then they stopped doing it for a while, and we started using something from Genova called Estranex, and that shows the breakdown and the buildup. And so if you say you do a bone density, doctor says, huh, you're osteopenia, you have osteopenic, we need to put you on Fosamax. You're, well, I'm going to do this with diet. So you go and you get this NTX test or the Genova test. And it says, right now you are in a either building stage or a breakdown stage, right? So you go, okay, I'm in a breakdown stage. What do I have to do to switch it around? Well, you go through the nutrients and you go through my eating for bone health videos and start making all these great eating, you know, bone strengthening foods and add some nettles and horsetail. And then you go back and in about 2 months, you go and test it again and you start to go in the other direction. The bone density is going to be the same if you went back and tested it again. It won't change for 6 months. So now you go, oh, I'm going in the right direction. But say you go and you get a bone density test and you're perfectly, you're good. But you get this NTX test and you're this way. Are you going to wait till you get the bone density test and you're low? Or are you going to go, wait a minute, got to change my diet, got to change my nutrients and bring me back up? So it's a really nice test to do. And, you know, we'll talk more about it when we get to that part of the class. But if you've got any, you know, issues with the bone density and you want to look at that now, it's certainly look. It's really a balancing act here when we're trying to, like, I could get you to do thousands of dollars worth of tests all at once. But really what I'd like to do is get you, get the major things shifting and then test. and go, wait a minute, she's eating cruciferous vegetables, she's doing green smoothies, doing all this stuff, but it's still not quite in their direction. What additional things do I need to do? So it's kind of like not spending your money at a point where it's probably going to be off anyway, right? Let's just fix things first. And that's how I work with people who come in off the street who are not as educated as you guys, where you've been looking and searching and changing things for a while. They're just like, you know, eating McDonald's and burgers and fries and candy and all this, and they want help. Well, I could do a whole series of tests with them, but why? We know everything's going to be screwed. Why waste their money, right? Unless they are rich and they don't mind and they want proof, then I'll do it. But I try to be cautious of your budget and not overwhelm us with too many test results. Because if you get all the test results at once, you're going to want to fix it all at once. And it can be overwhelming. Like now you're on 17 supplements and 47 different special foods, and you're a basket case because you're nervous and stressed out about all the things you have to do. So it's all balance. And with some people, I give less, and some people I give more. And it's all a matter of trying to balance the psyche, the budget, and the physical body. Does that make sense?
Can I ask about thyroid some more?
Sure.
Okay. So in my case, all of my thyroid markers were within optimal ranges except for T3, which was off the charts to the left, you know, very low.
Very low, yeah.
So we're talking about inflammation being an underlying cause. Could, and maybe we've already talked about this, forgive me, but.
It's okay.
I had, at the same time that I had that test done, I had a urinary tract infection, apparent possibly. So that could be one of the source of inflammation that caused the low T3, right?
Could be. Yep, absolutely. There's so many things, so many factors that play in that one bad test result is not enough for me to slap, you know, if I was giving a diagnosis, to slap a diagnosis and a medication on, right? It's a pattern and you look at what's going on. I had somebody come back who had family history of cardiac disease and diabetes and had elevated cholesterol, but had never had a high CRP. Was always CRP was always 0.2. He comes back and it's a 20. And I freaked out. Like, what the heck's going on? Now he suddenly has a high risk of heart disease, whereas the numbers before didn't really put him at a high risk of heart disease. Well, it turned out he had had a viral infection and it went into his lungs and he had bronchitis and he'd been coughing for the last 6 weeks. So sent him away, said, let's guess retest you in a month or 6 weeks. Make sure everything's clear. You know, gave him some stuff for his immune system and sent him on his way. We went back 6 weeks later and his CRP was back to 0.2. But had we not dug like that, you know, just been going quick, the nurse sees the test. Oh, wait, we got to put this guy on a statin. He's at risk. Put him on a statin quick. Right. And off he would have gone with his statin when it was a viral infection. Right. So you're so right, Jay, because so many things affect the conversion, the inflammation affects it. Gut health affects it, right? 25% of T4 to T3 conversion happens in the gut. 50% happens in the liver. So if the liver is stressed out, then you're going to get less conversion. We're looking at the thyroid as a problem when it's not the thyroid at all. It could be the gut. It could be the liver. It could be inflammation. It could be elevations in deficiencies in selenium and magnesium. All kinds of things that affect it. And then nobody looks at receptors, right? You can have perfectly normal thyroid function on paper, but you have symptoms. And it may not be the thyroid at all. It may be the receptors. And the same thing, you had a urinary tract infection. That's going to cause increase in cytokines, which is going to affect those receptors. Vitamin A, super important. Deficiency in A will affect the receptors. Homocysteine. See a lot of people with elevated homocysteine. Why? Because so many people have MTHFR SNPs, right? So it's really looking at all of this in perspective and not jumping right into, let's fix this with the monkey wrench. Let's just go a little bit more gently. Anyway, does that make sense, Jay?
Yes, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just redo it, just look in and redo it. But also look at the other factors, right? How is your gut? How is your liver? You didn't have any other liver markers at that point. So if not, then...
I had high homocysteine, though.
You had high homocysteine. That's going to affect the receptors. So even if your numbers look perfect, you might still have some sluggishness there because of the receptors. So getting that homocysteine down.
Rita Marie, since we're still on thyroid, could we look at my panel, which I just got results back last week?
Good. Yay. I've been waiting on those for a year.
I know. Master tracker. I just placed them in. I was glad to see that at least the TSH did a drop from the 9 down to 5 something. So that was in the right direction.
Here we go. Wow, what a big difference after rebooting that I can actually click things and they open. It's so wonderful. Small wonders. Let me move this over here. And let's go to your... Where'd your labs go? Did I move them up here? Oops. Ah, I don't want to add new things. I want to... I'm sorry, I looked at the wrong thing. Now you have 2 extra sheets we'll have to get rid of. Lab results, here we go. Okay. So 11.5. Your glucose looking good. Your bun's a little bit low again.
Yeah.
So looking at your stomach acid again. All these other things are better. Are you hyperventilating? Are you having any breathing difficulties?
No, not at all.
Unusual to have. Well, you've always had a little bit of alcohol, and you've got some alkalosis, which is really unusual. Usually we see people in acidosis, right? You're eating too much crap, and these numbers are low. Yours are high, and they've been there for a while. Adrenal, hyperadrenal. It could be the hypochlorhydria. Let me see what the protein numbers are. Calcium's real low too, which is the opposite. I would expect calcium to be lower in an acidosis situation. Albumin low, yeah. Are you doing bitters? Are you doing digestive enzymes? Any of that stuff?
I am doing digestive enzymes, yes. I'm eating a lot of the arugula.
Mm-hmm.
I eat arugula every day.
What about before your meals, though?
Like, that's when I start with arugula. I start chomping on that before I even start the meal.
Okay, so you are doing bitters. You are doing bitters. What about your zinc status?
I have a...
Nope, you're low. Look at this. Your zinc is super low. The alk-phos has gone down.
Wow.
Yeah, so the zinc... And you might want to get a bottle of bitters and just at least do the concentrated bitters for a month or two, and then you can transition. But I want to see these numbers shift. I want to see that zinc, like the liquid zinc would be fine.
Yep.
When I take liquid, you can do the capsules. But I would do probably, given these numbers, how much zinc have you been taking, if any?
I have been. I've taken liquid zinc in a smoothie every morning about it's a dropper full.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Don't take it in the smoothie. Take it, like, you know, before you have your smoothie, when you first get up in the morning, empty stomach, because it's going to get absorbed better. Once it goes into the smoothie, it becomes part of that base of food, and it has to go through the whole digestive process to get absorbed. Whereas if it's liquid and you just take it on an empty stomach, it gets in there, gets absorbed right through, sometimes through the stomach lining, even under your tongue, if you can tolerate it. You can put it under
your pretty strong stuff.
Pretty strong, yeah. Yeah, so just swallow it, but do it on an empty stomach. And it doesn't have to be like hours away from food. It's just as long as it's even 15 minutes, because it doesn't take very long for it to get absorbed.
Yep.
I would go for, at least initially, like maybe do for a month, 40 to 50 grams a day. And then you can drop it to a more reasonable 20 to 30. But I'd like to see this shift, because it's gone down. It's gotten worse than it was. It's probably not absorbing it.
You mentioned a bottle of bitters. Is there a specific bitters, or is that something I get on health, Seeking Health?
I have not seen them on Seeking Health. I like Herbalist and Alchemist. I know Gaia does it. You can also go check out our Dr. Supplement store that we've been associated with, and you can get all your brands together in one place.
Okay.
And then put the link in the chat. And B6 as well. Usually when you're SGO2 is actually, oh wait, it's high. So never mind. Sorry. It's high. There's some liver stress going on. Are you still working on the heavy metals? You know, you had some metals in your water.
No, I'm having the distilled water. I'm adding sea minerals to the distilled water. So I'm not drinking from
it. You're not drinking it anymore.
No.
And you're not cooking with it either?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And have you had your heavy metals retested recently?
I have not.
Okay. It would be a good thing to do just to see if there's another source other than the water.
Is that the urine test?
You could probably do a hair. Hair is okay. Probably cheaper to do.
I did the urine the last time.
You did the urine? It was the challenged urine where you drank the DMSA first?
No, I did it it's like four times through the day. And you have a lot of volume, and then you...
Oh. So here's the thing. With minerals, the body will sequester them away in bone tissue and brain tissue and fatty tissue because it doesn't want them circulating. And what happens is that if you just do a urine test, you're getting what's circulating in the blood as opposed to what's in your stores. So that says to me that there's a lot in you that's circulating, because most people have to do a challenge to draw them out to see any high elevations in the urine, whereas the hair you usually see right away. So if you wanted to do the same test you did before, you certainly can do that, and that'll give us an apples to apples comparison versus not really knowing how to compare if you do a different test. And that was the doctor's data, the toxic minerals?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I would say do it again. So whenever we find something out of balance and you do some steps to correct it, whether it be reducing the toxic load or increasing nutrients in the case of deficiency, it's always a good idea to go back and retest to make sure you're on the right track. Right? Because a lot of times what people do is you get the results, you do the thing for 3 months, you say, yeah, it's probably fine now. And then you go on your merry way and it turns out it's not fine. And that could be seriously affecting your thyroid, because the thyroid is one of the most sensitive tissues in the body to heavy metals and to toxins, you know, chemicals and things like that. And your cholesterol is super, super low. Triglycerides are okay. Let's see, HDLs are low, but your so is your LDL. I'm going to show you a chart in a moment that may make a difference. So definitely the thyroid has gotten better. How's your energy? How do you overall feel?
I'm good in the morning, early afternoon, but around 3 o'clock I've been getting a little I've been tired. I've been yawning a lot. Mm-hmm. I get tired. In fact, when I get home, maybe around 4:35, I could just sit down. I sit down many times, take a half hour nap before I get up and make dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So a little exhausted at that period.
So overall, your free numbers have come up. They're not in the abnormal range in terms of out of the lab range. They're in the outside of the ideal range. These could come up, but I don't think it's a conversion issue. I think it's just low hormone level issue because they're both low. And if we look at these, have you ever mapped them on the thyroid scale diagram?
I have not.
Okay, let's look to see how that looks. If I can find that one. Here we go. It's called TS Diagrammer's Tool. Oh, we did look at these here at one point.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, I may have done it when I was reviewing your thing. But okay, so if I look here, and I'm going to put today's, it's 11. Was it 15? 18?
Right around there.
I'm going to move this over so they're next to each other. Next to each other. Okay, so we're looking at We're looking at 0.99, 2.5, and your TSH of, what was it, 5.66. So 5.66, 0.99, and 2.5. So we're going to go back into here, and the date was 11.5, so that's close enough. 11.5. Okay, so we're going to look here, and the way this is set up is you go to find where your TSH falls in this scale, and it's over right here. Okay, and then we're going to look at your free T4, which is 0.99, which falls right around here. And then we're going to look at your free T3, which is 2.5. In this range, it's 250. So it's right here. Now, if you were having an issue with conversion, we would see these a lot further apart. These are close enough to say there's not an issue with conversion. But if you had a 0.99 and a, 1.7, we'd say, yeah, big issue with conversion. If we were to map somebody else's here, perhaps Jay's, because his T4 was normal and his T3 was low, we'd see that angle and go, yeah, this is a conversion issue. But there's also an issue with making enough hormone. The TSH is working really hard. Now, we also got to look at the fact that, let's see, your antibodies, if they've improved at all. All right, so let's go back here and we'll see. Oops, here we go. So your TPO antibodies have come down. Way back in 14, they were low. They were up here at 100, and now they're down to 82. And these numbers are better. So there's definitely an improvement here in the thyroid function. But I'm still concerned that there's heavy metals or leaky gut that's contributing here. Right, okay. That heavy metals still are not under control. Heavy metals are other toxic type stuff. And we have our total. Did you do total T4? Let's see. No, they didn't do total T4. What is with everybody not doing total T4?
I know I asked for it too.
Valuable piece of information. It's like we want to find where it's broken, right? Is the TSH high because the pituitary is not getting a signal, it's broken, it's overproducing? Is it high because the thyroid's not responding, or is it downstream from that? So if I see that total T4 and I say, oh, Rich, it's like 10, everything looks good, then I would say, huh, the total T4 is high, but we're not converting to the free form. Therefore, we must have too much of the protein that binds it. So when I get all the information, I can make assumptions about where the breakdown's happening. But if I only have part of the information, I guess. In this particular case, my guess is going to be, based on seeing the total T3 being low, that the total T4 is probably low too, right? It's a pretty reasonable assumption. And that the issue is that your thyroid's not making enough. The not making enough is related to this autoimmunity. Or is there something else there? Have you had the iodine load? You haven't.
I have not.
But you've been taking, are you still taking the thyroid PX?
No, I stopped that probably 2 months ago when I ran out of it.
Okay. So I'm just going to give you a caution, right? When you run out of something, go get tested right away before you're off of it for 2 months, because we don't know if it was working. We don't know where it was because the last numbers we had were in January. Do you see what I mean? So now we don't know if that was an effective therapeutic for you and that you just need to keep on going longer or take more.
Yeah, but isn't the indication that the fact that it's lower now?
Well, it's better now, so that would give me an indication there, but you've been off 2 months. So I would say your best bet is going to be to get back on it. Because maybe it was even better than it is now and it started to reverse. Because it's definitely better than it was a year ago.
Yep.
Right? Is it clinically significant? Yeah, it's probably, definitely clinic. Because it's been slowly on the rise here. Now, I want to see it keep going. And when you stop something, right, if you're going to stop something, you're not sure if you have to continue, get it tested. But also, just cold turkey stopping something is not your best bet, right? It's like, okay, I've gotten this back where I want it to be. Say the next time you do it, you go back there and you get this done and you go, wow, this looks really great. Are you going to stop everything? Right? Because you may really need it and that's why it's great, right? So you wean yourself down. You go, okay, I'm really good here. Everything looks good. Let me just drop it back for a little bit. Let me pay attention. How's my energy, right? Chances are good if these numbers get into the right range that your energy is going to feel better. You're not going to have those slumps in the middle of the afternoon. So you'll be able to see it before getting it tested. I just wish we had finger pricks for thyroid. Don't you wish we had finger pricks for all this stuff? It's like, we'd have very messed up fingers, but we'd know what our numbers are. We wouldn't have to keep going to the lab.
Right.
But see what I mean? Right. And this is a lesson for everybody. I'm not picking on Rich and saying you did a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, we don't think about these things because that's generally how medicine works. Like, oh, good. You're good now. Stop taking this thing. Or just keep taking it for the rest of your life in spite of the side effects, one or the other. And we really need to just look at the balanced approach. How much do we need to be taking versus how much were we taking? But clearly, you know, you're not taking too much because you've been taking it since, is it last December when you started it?
Right.
Yeah. So it's definitely improved since last December. It's not over the top. So you're probably not taking too much of it. Maybe not right. enough.
And you know, the other thing is in your autoimmune herb supplements that you had for the hypothyroid, I was adding maybe three or four of the different herbs in as well and taking that, the seaweed being one, mm-hmm. or a couple other things of which the names escape me right now, but maybe that's been having a good effect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But you see, what I want to know is I want to be scientific about teasing it out to see what it is. Right? The herbs are cheaper than buying this big bottle of supplement, right? Right. You know, the herbs are a lot more cost effective because you can buy them in bulk and you can do them in a lot of ways. So I want to find out what really is working, right? And so when we get you to a place where things look stable, then we go, okay, let's back it off. But with the heavy metals, we don't know either, right? Because we don't know if it's still there. You took out the water, but is there another source that we still have to investigate and remove?
Yeah, plus I've been taking the Pectol C.
Pectisol, right? That'll pull things down. Yep.
Probably not enough. I know I should be taking it three times a day. I might be getting in twice a day.
It's a hard one to be doing three times a day because it wants on an empty stomach.
Right, correct.
Yeah, I hear you. None of us is going to be perfect with our supplement regime or our food regime, which is why, you know, we just do the best we can, but monitor. Make sense?
Good, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Was there anything else in here that I should look at?
Take a look further down on the, let's see.
Oh.
Is there any way to get that red blood cell count up?
White blood cell. Holy cow. Cell.
That's always been down, as you can see.
It's been a long time. And, you know, the fear of, you know, whenever I see really low like that is we got to look at bone marrow. Right?
Yeah.
But this has been this way. None of your doctors has said, hey, let's do a bone marrow biopsy. Maybe you have leukemia. You don't look like somebody who has leukemia or lymphoma, or you'd probably be dead by now given these numbers. But it's certainly something. It's very low. It's very low.
What are you looking at?
Look at his red white blood cell counts. It's two.
WBC.
See it right here? But it's been that way for years.
Especially did sort of a nosedive when I was really going on the raw food diet.
Well, raw foods are said to decrease white blood cell counts, and it's said to be a physiologic reason in that when you eat cooked foods, supposedly it causes leukocytosis, which is increase in white blood cells when they measure people like right after they eat. Yep. So, I mean, it may or may not be good. I haven't had mine tested in a long time, so I have no idea what mine would be. But I'm going to get mine tested soon, and I'll let you know. But it's stable. It's not like, you know, here it took a nosedive even, but then it came back up to two. That's really low. I mean, anytime we go below four, I'm starting to be you know, like what do we do to bring it up? But oftentimes it's indicative of an autoimmune disease. Body's constantly fighting something and the cells, the counts go down, or a chronic inflammatory or infection. So let me look at some of these other numbers. Let's see. Let me get over here. Interesting. Your hemoglobin came up, hematocrit went down.
Yeah.
MCV. So this B12 issue has been going on. Have you had, you haven't had the Dutch test since they added MMA, have you?
No.
What are you taking for B12 and how are you taking it?
It's a liquid. I put it under the tongue.
How much?
Yikes. Can't tell you.
Okay, because it's not working.
Right.
Okay, so I think you need to change brands. Whenever we're working on something and we seem to be taking, either you're not taking enough or you're not, it's not the right brand for you. It's not being absorbed. So you could look at the liposomal. The Seeking Health has the liposomal.
Yep.
And in this case, given how high these numbers are and how low your B12 status seems to be, I'd be looking at probably like gradually building up to the, they say a 40 drops is the dose. That might be too high. Do you remember in your genes if you have the COMTs?
I don't.
Okay, we'll look at that real quick. But also the heavy metals can increase that. So it may not be the B12 after all. It could be the heavy metals.
B12, oops.
Your platelets are low. You just overall have low. There's a stress on your immune system that needs to be removed. Oh, and you didn't do the full counts here. Last time you did the full counts, your neutrophils lymph balance was good, but the monocytes were high, which is common in autoimmune. And the basophils have been. Have you ever done a stool test for parasites or anything?
No.
It might be a next step to do because, you know, this autoimmune's been going on. Something's going on in your gut maybe that's precipitating this. The basophils have been high since, last time they were tested. They were fine back in 13. So did you do any traveling in here, foreign travel, get a new pet, live with somebody who had a pet?
No pets. I was going to Europe during 2014 for work.
It's not the place we think of for picking up a parasite, but certainly, oh. You know, I'm big in Mexico, Africa.
Nope.
But you certainly could. So, an inflammation. And it could just be inflammation. Yeah, your inflammatories are high. Right, so. Now, wait a sec. You put in under 5. So, HSCRP, that looks like a weird number. Was that supposed to be 0.5?
You know, that was how the particular lab gave the finding. They had it said less than 5, and I remember you questioned that the last time, and then I requested that they give a actual number, and they came back with a less than 5.
Is it actually the HSCRP or is it just CRP? That might be the difference, because I've never seen an HSCRP
calculate. Yeah, I'd have to go back to it and take a look at it. That's a good point. I'll take a look.
Yeah, it might not be because here it was fine. Here it was high. Here it was fine. Sometimes just an infection or any lots of things can raise it. So we don't take one notice. But then this doesn't even make sense, like less than 5, as if that would be good, right? But we really want it to be less than 3, but I like to see it less than 1. I like to see it like this. That's what makes me happy. Your A1C, we didn't get done again. You were heading 9.8. Holy cow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you've come in the right direction. We don't know where it is now. Have you been monitoring blood sugar? Is everything looking okay? Your insulin?
Yeah, I've been doing it periodically, yeah.
Well, this was back in January, so nothing else new. Vitamin D looks good. Yay.
I know. I've been working on that.
Yay. Keep it up. Don't stop taking it just because it looks good.
Right.
All right. All right. All right. So, are you still taking those that you said that you were taking? Let me pull you guys over. You said you were taking some autoimmune herbs for the thyroid. Are you still taking those?
I am. Yes.
Okay. I would think that going back to that thyroid PX that you were taking before,
yep,
and then doing a thyroid panel in the 3 months and getting, in addition to everything else you got, you didn't get the thyroglobulin because I want to see that. And let me look at that again, just make sure. And then getting the total T4 with it. So a real thyroid panel.
That's what I asked for. I even itemized it for him.
Let's see. Let me see. You're 82. This was 0.1. Yeah. Well, the thyroglobulin, when you had it done before, was fine. So you can just save some money and just get the TPO. So we can monitor from there. Okay. So all of this stuff. TSH, total T4. You don't even need the total T3. Swap them. Say, I'll swap you. Get me the total T4. I don't need the total T3.
All right.
All right. And then the freeze. Okay?
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
All right. All right. Who else? Questions, comments, anything?
Quick comment.
Yes. Where are you? Oh.
I'm right here.
Okay.
This is the perfect minerals, the thing to put on the water.
Oh, the hot rehydration ones?
No. This is to add minerals to the filtered water.
Oh, I see. That's the one that you said that came with it.
Yeah. So
what's
this
in it?
This one has magnesium, 200 milligrams, chloride, 580. Sodium, 5 milligrams.
Wait, for 5 milligrams?
Yeah.
How much are you adding?
I'm adding like 15 drops.
To each cup or to like a gallon?
No, to a thing.
To a big container. Okay, got it. All right, yeah. Never mind. Okay.
And
I was thinking you said 5 grams. You said 5 milligrams, sorry.
Yeah, that would be a lot, right?
That would be a lot of sodium. Like, woohoo, that's more than all the fast food.
And the last one is sulfate, 40 milligrams. It says that they have like 79 trace minerals, but they don't
list them, yeah. And
supposedly,
this
is for 60 gallons of water.
For 60 gallons of water. Well, none of the ones we were concerned about, like the phosphorus and the iron, are not in there. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. You want to find out what the source of it is? Where are they getting
it? It says natural ionic minerals from the Great Salt Lake.
Okay. Well, it sounds fine. It doesn't seem, it's not going to have high levels of phosphorus or iron in it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Sounds fine. And I think we found those in the food, right? When we looked at the chronometer.
And adjusting tweaking a little bit the servings or the recipe.
Yeah, tweak the servings, exactly.
To see, maybe I put more than, but it still is a lot.
But still, but the encouraging thing with that is so many people say, how am I going to get iron? I don't eat red meat. And she's like looking at this iron and she was like way over these really high levels of iron just from her vegetables and her chia seeds and seeds and stuff. And it was plenty of iron. Actually, it was too much on some of those days. So it's And because her iron went up. I'm like, why does your iron go up? Are you taking iron? No, I'm not taking any iron. Okay. I'm eating my food.
Yeah. Plenty of nutrients there.
Plenty of nutrients there. We know that. Cool. Good, thank you. Okay, Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
So for a couple of years, my I've been using an online doctor and then a real doctor to get my test. And my real doctors have been saying, gee, your Tish is high. And my other doctor would say, no, leave those values. It's fine what you're taking.
What's high? Your what? Your TSH?
Tish, TSH.
TSH, okay.
And so just recently, I had the blood panel done, and I just got a letter from my doctor. She said that my TSH is 34, and she likes to see it around 2 or 5 or something.
2.
So is it possible that it can really be 34?
Is this in your Esther tracker? I don't remember seeing this when we looked.
I think it's in my master tracker since.
All right, let's look. Oops.
I didn't double check it.
Let's see. And you're not on thyroid medication, remind me.
I am.
You are.
I'm on the original glandulars that a doctor that I was with before put me on. And they seemed to work at the time, but now I'm taking 2. That doesn't seem to help me. So sometimes when I take 3, it helps me a little, but then I get shaky. So
we did talk about this because the concern was that your antibodies are so high. And we don't know what the conversions or any of that is, but we don't need to know other than for some reason. Yeah. It's, and when did you go on this thyroid medication?
Oh, it's been a couple of years ago.
Okay. So 0 is obviously wrong. You can't have a 0 there. It might have been a 0.1 or something. So you're not, is it an armored thyroid or nature thyroid, or it's actually just a glandular over the counter?
It's a glandular. You're supposed to have a prescription, he said, for it.
It is.
I took a picture of it and sent it in before I put stuff on the master tracker. So you have, do you want me to go get the bottle? And
no, I've got it. Get the bottle. That would be good.
Okay.
Trying to remember my notes from you the other week.
Well, a lot has happened between then and now.
Okay.
Okay, so here
I'm having trouble with me.
I've got the bottle.
Right. You know, given we don't know any other numbers at this time, did you see the physical piece of paper that this was on? Or they just called it to you?
No, there was a physical paper.
Yes, that
I put stuff from the master tracker. So I don't think. I mean, the doctor was telling me from her paperwork.
Right. Yeah. So when there's autoimmune, when there's antibodies, what we see is a lot of fluctuation in the TSH numbers, a lot of fluctuation. Okay, so tell me what the bottle says.
Okay, the bottle says.
It's a prescription bottle?
No, this is the bottle.
Okay. All right, what's the brand name and what's the.
The brand name is Just In Health.
Okay.
And I have to put on some light and maybe some glasses here.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I can see this stuff. Let me see.
They make them so small, you need magnifiers.
It says it has zinc, 10 milligrams. It has selenium, 26 milligrams, copper, 0.25 milligrams, and proprietary blend, vegetable culture containing 30 milligrams each of superoxide dismutase and catalase. Pig glandular concentrate, rubidium. Yep. And a vegetable culture. That's all it says. But it does something. I mean, and I can tell the difference between.
Well, the pig glandular will definitely be providing. I mean, they'll say that you can't, like, it's not something you can predict what the quantity is. And that's the big argument that a lot of folks have about taking glandulars, is that from one batch to the next, one animal group to the next, it might shift, as opposed to taking a thyroid medication that's, you know, set amounts. You right. say like X number of milligrams of T3 or X number of milligrams of T4.
Yes.
So you don't really know from one to the next. This was from, so 4 months, was there some shift in, like, I'm sure you went through several bottles in the meantime, right? It wasn't all from the same yeah. bottle, right? So hard to know.
No, my doctor, I remember my doctor saying that it was high. This was like a year and a half ago. The doctor that I had then, and then I moved and stuff since, so I've got a different mm-hmm. doctor now, but she was saying it was high, and I asked the person that I would do the online stuff with, well, you know, my doctor said this was high. No, it's fine. Leave it. And he was having me take 4 of these.
Okay. And how many of them are you taking now?
I'm taking 2 and sometimes 3, because 2 just isn't enough. I'm just dragging all the time.
Well, it's hard to say without knowing the other numbers. My guess, though, is that these numbers are low because they were before. Your total T3 was low. Your free T4 was low, but we never got the total T3. Now, you should have a prescription for the bonus that we got you through My Labs Online.
Okay.
Right, that will have a complete thyroid panel.
Okay.
And
don't do that.
I think that would be a good thing to do.
Okay.
At least by the end of the year, and see what those numbers are, so we can actually compare it and make some decisions about what, you know, how effective that thing is right now. The other thing I would probably get, I think I mentioned it in your notes, is the iodine load test.
Oh, iodine. Okay.
Let's see. Supplement changes. Yeah, I didn't write all my test results, but test.
And I should have a couple of other numbers on my tracker. At least 2 other times.
Yeah, I have them there. Are you seeing my screen?
I do see a screen. Yes, it says note to self.
Yeah, that's my notes from your thing that I had to.
Okay.
I remember my computer was dying when we were doing this. And I lost it. Didn't I lose you? And I just said, hey, we're done. I guess we were done, but it was like after a long time. Let me see. So you have the ones from April, and then you have ones from last November, but the one from last November has a 0 for TSH. So that had to be wrong. I don't know if you uploaded them, because I can look in your labs. Dutch lab tests, a PDF. Let's see what this one is. August. Oh, your husband put these in here, right? I remember he created this.
He did, yes.
Yeah. But this was from August. Oh, no. You know what? Let me open that again, because I think you had said further down he had compared them. Maybe he just didn't type that one in properly. Let's see. Iron, ABC.
I saw back there, or saw T3 or something.
Yeah. So let's see. TSH. Neutrophils. Am I missing it? Ferritin, iron. TSH. Oh, wow. It was way low. It was 0.01. Then it was 10, and then it's 34. So what were you doing differently last November that you're not doing right now?
Wow, what was I doing differently? Well, it wasn't thyroid, because I have only been taking that one thyroid.
So you weren't taking any thyroid, is that?
I was taking four pills, yeah, four of those.
But back in a year ago, November 13th, back there?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
The same stuff as you're taking now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, he didn't realize that. Because whatever... The dosing was much better. You still, your T3 was low. We don't know what your free T3 was, but the free T4 was fine. And your TSH was extremely low. And your antibodies were lower. And it's the same stuff that you were taking?
The same stuff.
Well, I want to say that this isn't really working for you. Even though you feel better, there's some things happening.
Yeah, I still feel pretty crummy.
Still feel pretty crummy. You can feel a lot better. Do you remember feeling better back then? Do you remember having any excess energy,
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah. Well, I would like to see another one. So whenever you get it, end of December, beginning of January, you've got the thing from my labs, whenever it's convenient to get over to the lab and get it done.
Okay.
Don't change anything.
Okay.
Just stick with what you're doing so we can see what those numbers are. And then we have a clean slate to work on.
Okay.
Because that's way too high.
Okay. Thank you. And the iodine, you said you wanted me to get an iodine test.
An iodine load test. Hakala lab. I'll write it in here.
I still haven't talked to you about the, so maybe we want to talk about this later or something. I haven't talked to you about that or the Dutch test or.
Yeah, we can do that. Cause I, as I recall, we got cut off cause my computer was going nutty and then all of a sudden it just went out. So yeah, let's see what we can do to find a time to pick up that. I'll shoot you an email with a link to this. I'll add whatever, and then we'll figure out a time to just have that chat because
there
was a bunch of stuff I wanted to add to this. Computers. You got to love them. So iodine load test is Hakala Lab.
Okay.
And you can just look them up. I think it's just Hakala Lab or HakalaLabs.com.
I'll find it.
And you'll find it. Yep. And then you've got this in the bonus.
Thank you.
Bonus labs. Okay. And then we'll see where we go from here.
Okay.
I'll review this and go back over the tests we looked at. And yeah, we did talk about Dutch and I couldn't write it down because I was in the process of it going nutty on me. I remember that now. Or else to fill in, right? I had all this stuff here that I was going to fill in and I didn't. Get back to it because my computer died. Okay, I'll take care of that and then I'll reach out to you. I'll send you a link to this and then I'll reach out to you and we'll find a time to chat.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, lots of thyroid stuff tonight, eh?
That time of year. I don't know.
That time of year. 'Tis the season to be thyroid. oh, boy.
Wow, you can sing. You said you couldn't sing.
Oh, I can't carry a tone.
No, you did. You did great. You're hired. You're a backup singer.
Maybe I improved since I was 8 and I got kicked out of the choir. Never sang again. Very traumatic. My music career as a child, I really loved music and I loved doing stuff. So I went and joined the choir and the instructor, whatever, she was a nun. In her little habit, with the black and all. And she said to me, oh, do you have a cold today? I'm like, yeah, I have a cold. Okay, we'll test you next week. And I kept coming back for 3 years. And she was going to test me next week until we did a recital. And then she told my mom, my dad, to tell me to mouth the words. Never sang again. Never sang again. Then, okay, so it gets better with my music career. So I'm doing that. We decided my voice wasn't my strong suit, and somebody was offering, you know, they offer parents like, here's this like cheap $39 and you can get 8 lessons on whatever. And it was the accordion. And I loved playing it. It was really cool. And at the end of the 8 lessons, I said to my mom, I'd really like to continue this. Can I continue this? So she goes and talks to the instructor. Well, I have to find out how much money and can we afford it? And my poor mom, she just wasn't schooled in the social graces of how to delicately tell people things. So she came back to me and she said, the instructor said, don't waste your money.
Oh my God.
She didn't come back and say, oh my God, the instructor said it was going to be so much. I'm so sorry. And we just can't afford it. You know, we have all these kids to feed and I just can't afford it. No, she said, the instructor said, don't waste your money.
Oh, that's terrible.
I have never tried to play anything, sing anything, do anything related to music ever again. So.
Aww. Well, you can carry a tune.
I can. Thank you. At least the tune.
We heard it. We all heard it.
Y'all heard it. It's on tape, right? Yeah. Prove it to the nun, Sister Catherine. Sister Catherine. Yes. Anyway, I found my calling.
Yeah.
So anybody else before we go?
Hey, I had a quick question, mainly possibly for Lynn.
Okay.
Lynn Rose. I thought I saw a post about PEMF and the Libra device, that there could be some kind of interference. And I was just wondering if she could talk about that or you, Dr.
Reed. It killed it.
Say that again. What happened?
Well, I went in and to have a PEMF, you know, it's a pulsed electromagnetic field machine.
Yeah.
For pain. I was doing it for my shoulder. And he had me take my phone off and credit cards and all that away from it, but he didn't know about the sensor on my arm.
And he killed it.
When I went home and tried to read it, it was like nothing. So I didn't think about that. So don't do the two together.
Don't do any, you know, they say that don't do an MRI. If you're going to do an MRI or anything like that, they say don't. It says it in the fine print in the instructions.
I had an MRI right before I got it, so I didn't think about it.
Well, at least you didn't get it with it. And there was some other thing. I thought it was.
It's been reading really low. It's been reading really low. And Susan and I were checking them. And it's like after I ate the other day, it showed like a 78. And then the keto showed 98. And the contour showed 108. It's like, so I don't know really. Should I just trust the trend or should I trust the numbers, you know?
Yeah, I trust, but here's the thing. You can upgrade if you have one to the 14-day for free. And they give you a free meter. Except you go in there, and instead of it being $40 for the sensors, it's $70 for the sensors. So excuse me, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? It's more than proportional, right? The only good thing is it takes an hour to start up instead of 12. But so I do it. I'm like, I kept the one arm. So I had the old one. It had about 18 hours left on it. I said, I'm going to just compare them. So I got the new one on. I had the old one. The old one had been comparing beautifully to my finger prick, except when it's rapidly rising or down and, you know, there's always a lag. So I get them going and I'm, you know, right before I go to sleep, I test and, oh, they both say 88. Wow. Okay, cool. I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning. I test them both again. One of them says 112, this new one, like I woke up with 112 and the other one said 72. And I'm like, excuse me. So I just started, okay, maybe it's the calibration period. And you know, sometimes there's that 12 hour and it's been off by usually around 16 to 18 points. Like it was compared to that. And I compared, you know, when I was doing that, I was also finger pricking on the good one, my favorite one, because I still had some strips. And they were all, it was consistent between the 10 day one and my strips. And the other one was like way off, completely way off. I'm going to call the company tomorrow and find out.
That's what I need to do. It's been showing in the 60s all during the night. And I don't
know. That's fine. 60s during the night. I get 60s during the night all the time.
But, hey, quick question. What issues have you guys experienced traveling through the airports with that sensor on your arm?
Tried it yet?
I haven't. I've tried it a lot. I mean, I've been wearing it for 6 months. Like, what kind of issues?
Well, it doesn't. So it doesn't trigger the.
No. Nobody even knows it's there. Oh, well, in the summer when I'm wearing a tank top, they do. But when I'm, with my jacket on, nobody even knows it's there. No, it doesn't
trigger. It doesn't have enough metal in it or anything to set off the.
No.
A little green needle, but.
Yeah. That little filament, yeah.
I just figured one less aggravation, with today's world, you don't need any aggravation
security. So. Exactly. I have a pin and a couple of pins in my elbow, just little titanium pins from breaking it and having to stitch it back together. And those don't set it off either. Because I said that to them. They said, "Do you have any metal in your body?" I said, "Well, I have these little tiny pins in here." They said, "Oh, I think it's fine," and it's never set it off. So the filament in there, I mean, there's more metal in your shoelaces, the things that you lace your shoe, right? There's more metal there than, or in your zipper, right? There's way more metal there than in the little filament thing. So yeah, it's good. It's fine that way. It's fine. But I'm going to call them. I'm tomorrow. I have a little bit of time. Today it was like nonstop yesterday and today. So I'm going to call them tomorrow and just explain and like, what the heck and why? What's my incentive for going to the 14-day other than I have to change it less often, but it's going to cost me a whole bunch more. Like, what's the point? So I don't understand it.
I'd like to know if there's some sort of shield you can put over it to do magnets, because, there's a lot of therapies out there like that now.
Yeah, I wonder if there is.
We could wrap your arm with aluminum foil.
Or lead, right? Get a lead, like those things they use for when you do x-rays and you want to cover your thyroid, those lead shields, you could do that. I wonder if those emergency blankets that Craig talks about, they're like $3 and there's this blanket and you can get it on Amazon for $3. It's called the emergency blanket. And he said it shields from EMFs. Right. Like if he takes his EMF meter and covers something, it shields it. So I wonder if that would do it.
I'm going to call him and ask.
Yeah, definitely call him and ask. Don't waste your money on another sensor.
No, I only had it on 2 days. So.
Oh, yeah, they will definitely replace it. I've had them replace things several times. Even when it was my fault, I said, I think it's not working anymore, but I think it's because my bathing suit strap pulled it off. And he went, be careful. Here's some things. Okay, we'll send you a new one. So.
Well, I've got
I may get cut off soon.
So I've got a Beamer and it's got a full length pad that I use every night. And I didn't really notice any impacts when I don't have the Libra on right now, but I didn't notice.
It's a lot more powerful than a Beamer. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
And more focused, right? The Beamer is more.
It's a big coil that goes, I mean, you can feel your whole body pulsing.
Oh, yeah. And vitamin C. I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. Because the other day I felt like, I feel like a tickle in my throat. And it's like, do I want good blood sugar readings that are not, or do I want falsely elevated blood sugar readings and get rid of the tickle in my throat? A high dose of C. It was like, I think I took like 4 grams and boom, my blood sugar went shooting up on that meter. But on the other meter, it was fine.
I only did 1 gram of IV and it went to 216.
Oh, 216. Mine never went that high. Well, it's IV, right? So it's getting in there right away and quickly. Mine was more the buffered powder and it was.
But that's a false reading, right, Lynn?
Yeah, it's a false reading. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. I didn't feel any different.
I know. Cause when I first talked to Lisa, Lisa's like, oh my God, are you having weird readings on your thing? I mean, it's like my blood sugar is all of a sudden, it's like 180. I don't know what's going on. And I said, I just discovered vitamin C. Have you been taking that? Yeah, I've been trying to fight off, a viral thing. Okay, that's what it is. So she went, look, I'm just going to have to fight off this viral thing and not worry about my blood sugar.
I'm curious to see what 20 grams will do to it.
Oh, yeah. Mine was about, it was probably 4. I don't measure, I just pour, but it was probably about 4 and it went up to in the 130s, I think.
Not too bad.
That's not too bad, no. But the first time it happened, I was freaking out because I didn't know. And it was when I first got the thing and I was in my sauna. It was my first time sitting in the sauna with the thing on, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, let me see if the sauna, whoa. And it just like kept creeping up. And then I take the finger prick and that's not going up. What? Well, my blood sugar, I'm thinking stress, cortisol, like the heat.
So the sauna did it too?
No, I thought it was the sauna. But I happened to be sitting in the sauna right after I took vitamin C.
Okay.
Now, it will, if it's in extreme heat or extreme cold, it will have a false reading for a while. It will stabilize. But Lisa said the same thing. She found if she had the air conditioning blowing on it, that it would elevate it for a little while.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of weird.
Let me ask a related question. So when, so I'm thinking about monitoring my ketones. When's a good time to measure for those? Like within an hour or two after you eat or when I first get up in the morning?
I usually do first thing in the morning, last thing at night. You can do it in between, and it might vary somewhat, but I just usually like to get the trend. It doesn't vary as much as blood sugar.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just usually do first thing in the morning, last thing at night, because they're expensive strips. It's not like I want to do them, you know, every hour. But I did for a little while. I did them more frequently, and I just decided first thing in the morning, last thing at night. And I also use it as a calibration for my blood sugar, right? If I test it on this Freestyle, and it's a weird number, and it doesn't correlate with my ketones. So, for example, if my blood sugar goes high, my ketones are going to go low, right? So if it's a false high and my ketones are 2.5, I know that that's ridiculous because my ketones are only going to be 2.5 if my sugar is below 80 minimally, right? Usually more like 60. So you can kind of, you get a sense of what your body's doing.
Did you just eat?
Did I just eat? No.
Oh, sorry. Oh. I didn't know it was like.
I didn't know there was something wrong with eating. Did I do something wrong? I didn't even know. Talking to the doggy.
Talking about saunas.
Yeah.
The saunas where you sit, how much money more or less are they?
They're around, you know, $2,000, $2,200. Mm-hmm. You know, they ship, that's plus $200 with shipping. So the ones that, the person that we had at the Shine event, he actually, a couple of people bought them right there and took them home with them. And he gave them a really good deal. Like, I was jealous, $1,600. Like, whoa, that's really good. But like probably $2,200 is more like it. And he gives us a good deal. So if you call him and tell him that you're with me, he said he'll give you like $200 off.
There's still a lot of controversy about not sweating though. I sweat a lot.
Yeah, I sweat. I know there might be controversy, but to sauna or not to sauna, I don't have room for the big one.
Yeah.
And if I did, I still probably wouldn't stay in very long because anytime I've gone in a sauna somewhere, I can't stand it after like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So I'm in there sometimes for hours just working away and I sweat. I have to change my clothes and take a shower after I get out of there. Okay. So I do sweat, but the beauty of it is you can still get some of the benefit of the heat and the far infrared in just 10 minutes without sweating. So you can like do it in the middle of the day and do it multiple times a day. So I'd love to see what, you know, what you've found about controversy over that. But, you know, is the controversy between the companies that sell the full ones versus the other, right? Because ideally, yeah, getting in that big sauna, I can't stay in all that long.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's just too hot for me or I don't know, but I heat this one up all the way. And it's, I like it, especially when it's cold out, sitting there just to keep warm.
Yeah. So preferably is better to go into a whole sauna.
I think there's more research on that. The people who do this one say because they've done some special things, like they have some of the lights that you sit on, that it's really good for gut issues and for like hemorrhoids and for female things, fibroids and other kinds of pains, pelvic pain, because you've got the lights going up through, you know, through the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And this one uses near and far, right?
It uses near and far, yeah. And I don't remember all all the whys and the wherefores about that. Lynn might know better than I what the whys and wherefores are. Anything related to physics, my brain turns off. So I hear it sounds good, and then I don't even remember or understand it. It's like, oh, okay. Give me a biochemical pathway, and I'll understand that, but physics, it's just the way my brain doesn't work. It doesn't work that way.
I can't remember the exact name of who I spoke with. I think it was HealthMate, but they sell one that's almost exactly like the one at the show. And they also sell the regular kind. So I called this guy. I think I'm pretty sure it was in California, but I'm not even sure about that, but he, I thought, well, this would be a good person to talk to because he sells both.
Yeah.
And he actually, convinced me that, you know, he said, this is a new thing, but he said, I'm telling you, I'm selling a lot more of those, than the other kind for that reason. He said, you know, it's something that you can do and you don't have, you know, he said more or less when you put a sauna in that, you know, he said you have to, take
strip
your
down. Off. Right. Exactly. That's the big thing. You have to strip down. For,
yeah. And he said, this is something that, you know, you can spend 15 minutes or you can spend, you know, an hour, but you
or
can
three.
Come right out. Yeah. Or you can get out. And he said, it's pretty much the only thing I'm selling right now.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So I was not sure either when I was trying to make my decision. And So I found that online and I thought, oh gosh, this guy sells both. So I'm going to do a little research and see what he has to say.
But, yeah, I think that's a great way to do it. And you know, whether one thing is better or not, like, so when I used to, have people do, I had, you know, inventory here and I'd sell them when people come to my practice and I had green powder and I found this green powder called Greens First and I would, you know, offer it. And then I had Premier Research Labs green powder, like the ultimate best green powder on the market with all this great stuff in it. And then the Greens First, which tasted good. It had mint and stevia in it, right? And so people would come in and I'd say, hey, get this green powder, and they do it. And the next time they come in, hey, do you need more of that green powder? Oh no, I'm good. And then when I got this other stuff in and they got the Greens First and they'd take the Greens First and they'd go away and they'd be calling me in between. I ran out of that green powder. Everybody in my family's taking it. Can I get more? Right? So which is the better green powder? The one that has the more nutrition in it or the one you're going to do more regularly?
Right.
And I think it's similar for the sauna. For me, I used to have the one which I brought to the NEPT retreat. You guys saw that's the, it's kind of like a quilted material and just your head sticks out and they have a spot for your arms. But I found it extremely inconvenient to work in that, like to put my computer and it was a distance. And this one, I could sit in there. It's this beautiful teak desk and I have my laptop on there and I could sit there for hours on end, right? Even when it turns off, I can still sit there. So it's utilitarian. Is that the word? Utilitarian?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it works for me.
I have a HealthMate and one of the, and I bought it with the group buy with Robin Openshaw, and she, you know, she really endorsed it, but she also endorsed it as being low EMF. And I haven't found that to be the case.
Hmm.
One of the biggest problems with most of the saunas is.
I haven't checked mine. I have to check it.
The old original, you know, sauna where you put the rocks and all that, you don't have that issue, but these all have Bluetooth and all this other stuff in there too. So that's the only
difference. I don't know about Bluetooth. I'll have to look to see. I'll see what mine is. Do you have your dirty? You have a different meter too that checks for dirty electricity. Is that different or would it be an EMF?
That's not so much the dirty electricity as the EMF.
EMF. Okay. Cause I got one of those. I bought one from Craig. I'll check it out. I know that Robin said, cause I was asking her about it cause I know she sells those big ones. And she said, you know, they sent me one for free. I didn't sweat enough and I sent it back. I didn't want it. It's all, you know, to everybody.
She's got two in her house.
She does, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Anyway, anything else before we go?
I had a question about, since we just, I'm going to start new supplements. Should I wait 3 months before I retest? I know originally we said to do some more tests in January.
Let me look back at your list here. To see what might, so we said increase the D and I said test, retest that in 6 weeks.
Okay.
B12 liposome, we'll see.
I think the January, a big part of that was thyroid testing.
Yeah.
And then I think there was a retest on the CRP maybe and. There were two things that there was a retest on. And then
because it was in your, it's in that thing. The retest of the A1C, the HSCRP or iron, the full thyroid blood chemistry. And those are all included in that panel. And then the ferritin, which wasn't included, but I asked you to do that separately. the Dutch you did, the blood fatty acid you did, the oat we said to wait. And then you started on bitters and the zinc, the Brazil nuts, and that was last time, so that was a month ago. And then this was the vitamin D, and you're going to get that set, done in 6 weeks. The B12, you could see a shift in that very quickly. Tenothenic acid, we're not going to see that until we do a Dutch test, you know, in terms of the adrenal stuff. And you're going to do the bone stuff. No, I would say you could still do all that at the end of January. That'll be 2 full months from now.
Okay.
And then we'll get to see what's going on with that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And also on the vitamin D, right now I'm putting that in a smoothie because it's drops.
I'd rather you do it not in a smoothie.
Okay. That's why I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. I think the liquid minerals do much better when you just take them on it. Minerals or vitamins, whatever, liposomals and micellized and all that do better when you take them alone. Because as soon as you take them with food, they have to get mushed up with the rest of the food. So the advantage of the liquid is lost.
Going straight in.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was what you said. And I just wanted to clarify. I wanted to make
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely. And the same thing, you know, of course, doing it is better than not doing it.
Right.
So if it tastes so gross, you're not going to do it, then put it in the smoothie and just add more.
Okay.
Right. And we'll get to see, because with the D, you're going to redo it in 6 weeks and see where it's at.
Right. Okay.
You know, we should see a significant increase. And if not, we're going to have to increase the amount.
Okay.
Take it differently. Okay. What's important when you're measuring and then remeasuring is that there's apples to apples, because then you can see under this circumstance, it's the same circumstance, because if you change the circumstance, you don't know what caused the change, right? Or how effective things were.
Right.
Like with Rich stopping 2 months ago and then getting his thyroid test, we don't know if in those 2 months, like he was like doing great and then dropped back down, or if he wasn't. And then we can make two different decisions. One is, wow, whatever you're doing, let's keep doing it. Like we can even increase it a little, or, well, that's not working real well.
That okay. Kind
of, yeah. Okay.
Sounds one good. Last question.
Sure.
For the liver cleanse, how many of the supplements should I stop, or should I stop them all?
Well, you know, they recommend that you just do the supplements recommended during the liver cleanse.
Yes.
And it's probably a good idea just to avoid any kind of interferences. So your D certainly is, you can take. And you know, with D.
How about the C?
What's that?
How about the C that I take? Vitamin C.
That's a good question to ask, like Isabel or Tony or those people who've been through it before. I think that I hesitate because of your reliance on that to keep things moving. Now, it might be not a bad idea to not do it. It's only 6 days. It's not like it's a whole, you know, two weeks or something that you're going to backtrack. I would say watch if you do back off and you notice more histamine reactions, right? Then go right back on it, because you don't want to spiral backwards. And if you feel like you're getting a cold or flu or whatever, definitely do the C.
Last time I didn't do the colon clear because I was doing a lot of magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I'm going to do the colon clear.
Yeah, and see how that works for you.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And if you really need it, but I think they would just say that you increase the colon clear if you're not having healthy bowel movements every day.
All right.
Thanks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I see Judy came on. Hi, Judy. Any questions or comments? And Chrissy, you've been on the whole time. You've been quiet. Yay. And Linda. And Diana. Who else haven't I heard from? And Paula. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Going once. Going twice. Sold. Okay. We're going to go. Have a great evening, everybody.
I'll reach out
to you, Gail. I'll get your thing filled out and I'll reach out to you. And Linda, did I send you yours? Because we were working on that when we were talking. I don't remember. I'll go back through my notes because I think I made notes on a lot of them and said, add stuff here. And then
I don't remember either.
Okay. I'll make sure I do. I know you were taking good notes too, so, but I always like to have the notes as backup.
Okay.
All right. Take care, everybody. I'm going to open up your lines. Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.
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 Bye-bye.